Well, once again, we're continuing on in our series, Know, Act, and Become. And we are in the part where we're learning how to act, things that we can do that will help us become more like Jesus, help us to get to know him better. I think that all of us have probably been in situations where we've been in a crowd and there's a lot of noise going on, a lot of people talking, and or maybe you're at a sporting event or a concert or someplace where there's a lot of noise and someone is trying to talk to you. It wasn't a whole lot of noise, but this happened to me just Thursday night when we went to the Garden Gourmet. And there was a lady across the table trying to tell me a story. And, you know, so she's telling the story, and I'm sorry I didn't quite get that. So she tells me, you know, the story again, and I still, you know, I hear a word here and there. And I don't think it's because of my hearing, but so once again, I still didn't get it. And so she tells it to me again, and this time I just start nodding my head and oh yeah, yeah. And I'm sure that none of you have ever done anything like that, but I just kind of went along with it and pretended that I heard, but I couldn't hear because there was so much distraction, so much other things that were going on. Sometimes maybe it's not noise, but maybe sometimes it's something else that distracts us. Maybe it's one of these. And I know I have talked to a certain loved one. And I will have said something and she never moves. And it's like she didn't hear me. It never happens the other way around. I'm always focused, laser attentive. But sometimes it's just amazing how you can be sitting right next to someone, say something to them, and it's like they never heard a word. Today we're going to talk about fasting and solitude. Two things that I think, two spiritual disciplines, or I like to call them opportunities, that I think help us to focus, to pay attention, especially to God, when God might be talking to us or want to talk to us, but because our lives are so full, so distracted, so much going on, so many other voices that are trying to talk to us and influence us, that at times we don't hear God. We maybe don't consciously shut him out, but we're just not paying attention. Now, when we talk about fasting, I have to be honest, and probably most people would agree that it is not probably our favorite thing to do. It's not our favorite spiritual discipline. I like to think about what I'm going to eat next, not about what I'm not going to eat. And so skipping meals seems terribly inconvenient. Sometimes it even seems somewhat painful. And then solitude, the same thing, just actually sitting still and just sitting in the presence of God is something that we're not used to. We like to be constantly engaged. We like to be entertained. Even when I was this week practicing solitude, practicing to sit still because I knew he was going to be talking about it, I would all of a sudden think about something and my first thought is, oh, I got to look that up. And I get my phone out and But we're just so habitual in wanting to be distracted, in wanting to be entertained, that we very seldom have these moments of stillness to sit before the Lord. Very seldom do we want to fast and deny ourselves of something so that maybe we can receive something else. Giving up any type of comfort takes effort. It can feel downright foreign in our culture that is so obsessed with indulgence and instant gratification. But as with all of these disciplines that we've been talking about, they are opportunities for us to draw into God's presence and to experience His grace, His love of us. They are not things that we have to, that we should feel guilt about. If the first reaction when we talk about prayer or fasting or solitude or meditation or Bible study, if the first feeling that we have is guilt because we're not doing it enough or we're not doing it what we think is well enough, that's not what God necessarily wants us to feel. He wants us to feel invited to do these things so that we can draw into His presence. Because when I begin to start feeling guilty about these things, well, then I'm not experiencing a relationship with God. I'm only, you know, downing myself. So God wants us to come into His presence. He has given us these opportunities as ways that we can enter into relationship with Him. We always talk about Christianity is a relationship. It's not a religion. This is how we enhance that relationship. Richard Foster says, the purpose of the disciplines is liberation from the stifling slavery of self-interest and fear. So in our noisy, hurried world, solitude and fasting are countercultural acts of surrender. And these disciplines are not about deprivation, but about creating space for a divine encounter. So, many have testified over the years, if you read through the Bible, and if you read many of the Christian writers, they have said that when practiced with a heart turned to God, solitude and fasting are some of the most important life-giving habits that a Christian can engage in. It's not about punishing our body or proving how spiritual we are. It is about making space for God so that we can experience Him and He can move in ways that feed our souls and transform, renew our minds. Now, I have at times spent time alone, and I have fasted, but it is not something that I say that I would do on a regular basis. So this message is as much to me as it is to you. And so together, I hope that we can learn a little bit about the benefits of being alone with God, of spending times in solitude, as well as fasting, and see how these things might transform our walk with Christ. So, at its core, Christian fasting is usually the intentional abstaining from something, usually food. But for those of you who might have a health issue where you can't abstain from food, I think I have that. There are other ways of fasting, you know, that we can abstain from certain things in an effort to fast. But most often it is involved with staying away from food. And it is something that is practiced throughout Scripture. When you begin to look for the amount of times that fasting is mentioned in Scripture, you find that it is everywhere. So it's not about punishing our body, it's not about trying to earn God's favor. It's about hungering after something greater than what this world offers, intimacy with God. It's modeled in Jesus' life, Jesus spent time alone and Jesus fasted. One of the most famous times probably is about when Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness alone with his father and fasted during that time. Let's read a couple verses here. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. And this is at another time, and this is about Jesus. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So Jesus, even Jesus, had to get alone at times with the Father, and he prayed. Then Matthew 6:6. This is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and he's giving advice about how to pray. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Getting alone with God, spending some time alone with God. And notice the word there, it says, but when you pray, not if you pray. Jesus is assuming that we will pray. Also, Matthew 6, a little bit further down in this chapter, he talks about fasting. And notice again here, when you fast, not if you fast. So when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Jesus is assuming that we will pray, that we will spend time alone with him, that we will fast. So, but like with all of the other spiritual disciplines, fasting is a means of receiving God's grace. It's not a merit badge. It's not something that we do to earn favor with God. It's not about proving our devotion, but it is about creating a space where we can hear from the Lord and to seek his will and to surrender our desires to his purposes. We already have God's favor. We have God's love and acceptance, and this is one way that we can walk in that love and in his favor. So while traditional fasting usually involves giving up food, Christians can also fast in other ways, and some things that I think are maybe becoming increasingly important that we take time to fast from are things like social media, putting our phones down for a day or so, which that might be worse than or harder than giving up food. Entertainment, other comforts, all for the sake of trying to make space for God, to gain spiritual clarity, to put aside all those distractions so that we can hear more clearly the voice of God and move into a deeper connection with him. In a world of noise and indulgence, fasting helps us to recalibrate or to reset. A lot of times, if you have a problem with any type of electronic equipment, whether it's a computer or a coffee pot, one of the first things that they will tell you to do is unplug it. Right, just turn it off and allow it to reboot. The same thing can be done in our lives when we fast, when we spend time alone with God, we unplug from the world and we reset. So I'm going to go through 8 reasons why Christians might want to fast and spend time alone in solitude with God. The first one is to get to know God better, to deepen our relationship with God. I think it's one of the most powerful reasons that Christian fasts, and that is to experience God in a deeper way. It can help us to focus and to submit to the Spirit in a deeper, in a greater way. Fasting is a way of telling God, I want you more than, and you can fill in the blank, you know, more than food, more than my phone, more than anything. I want you, or I want to learn to want you. I want to learn to make you more important than these other things in my life. It's a deliberate act of turning down the volume on our lives so that we can hear the spiritual in a more, in a clearer way. We need to take steps to shut out the noise of life. And sometimes it's not audible noise, you know, sometimes it's just the distractions of entertainment or whatever. We get distracted so easily. We need time, conscious effort to focus on God. Think of fasting as hitting a sacred pause button. Instead of reaching for the fridge or the phone or the TV, we reach for God. We replace eating with praying. Instead of feeding our appetites, we feed our souls. And over time, we notice something, and that is a deeper hunger will grow in our lives for more and more of God. The more that we know of God, the more we will desire God. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Okay? Rather than just hungering and thirsting for the things that are going to feed our bodies or to feed our minds with entertainment, we search for the deeper things of God. That kind of hunger isn't just poetic, it's a spiritual craving that can grow in our lives, and fasting is one way for us to help develop that. So fasting is not just about depriving our bodies of something that we want, but it is a realignment. It reminds us that nothing nourishes our hearts like the bread of life himself. And remember, without the bread of life, you're toast. Okay, so we desire to know God more and more, and he meets us in that hunger. He fills us with something eternal. Second point, fasting is a great way to consciously seek God's guidance. Life is continually throwing curves at us. Things come up. We find ourselves many times at crossroads or a Y in the road. We want to know which way we should go. And we find ourselves longing to hear an answer from God. God, why won't you tell me what to do? Well, God will tell us what to do. Maybe we're just not listening. The early church in Acts chapter 13, they were seeking God's guidance as to what steps God might be leading them into next. And so the church is, they're gathered together, they are praying and fasting. And this is what they came up with. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. This was the beginning of Paul's missionary tours. This was just before him and Barnabas went out on their first missions trip. And Paul would go on three or even four of these trips. And it resulted in the spread of the church throughout the whole Mediterranean region. And we read about those churches even yet today, you know, in Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians, Corinthians. All of them came about, those churches came about because Paul went out on these missionary tours by direction that he received while the church was together worshiping the Lord and fasting. They received that direction. It was a direct result, I think, of their seeking God in this way. So solitude and fasting helps quiet that noise and turns our heart to the Spirit's leading. He might direct us in many of the same ways. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, and you've heard me say it before, and you will hear me say it again, is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And this, to me, is just a real anchoring point in my life as to how to go about life. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. I think that this, in combination with seeking God through prayer and through fasting, God will give us the answers that we need. He will direct our paths. Point number three, fasting and solitude cultivates an attitude of repentance and humility. Throughout the Bible, fasting is often associated with repentance. And remember what the word repentance means. It means simply that I'm turning away from one thing, especially from something detrimental in my life, and turning to God. Turning to God. It's not just that I'm going to repent of being an idiot, but I'm going to turn to God. It takes that step, and that is the most important step, is to turn to God, and He will help us to overcome those things in our lives that are dragging us down. It means changing our mind about the way we are going and going God's way instead. Now, when we associate this with fasting, it is not that we are trying to earn God's love or that we are trying to twist His arm. That is the way I used to view fasting. I thought there was a time in my life when someone that I loved deeply was going through some terrible situation, and this was going on for an extended period of time. And I set aside one day a week. I was doing a 24-hour fast once a week just for the purpose of, God, you've got to listen to this prayer and do things the way that I think they should be done. And that was my attitude about fasting. I thought, fasting is going to put a couple of exclamation points on the end of my prayer. God will realize I'm serious, and He'll answer my prayer. And I was trying to use it to manipulate God. But we already have God's love, and that person already had God's love. Fasting is not to try to twist God's arm. Fasting is to help turn our hearts back to the one who gives us grace. It's to help us to place our trust in Him that He is going to work. Joel chapter 2, verse 12 says this, "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning." God wants us to turn to Him and to submit to His will. It's not a way for us to try to get God to submit to our will. Fasting is about submitting to God's will. It's not a demand for ritual, but it is an invitation into relationship with God, to walk along with God through these difficulties. Like the prodigal son who said, "I have wandered and I want to come home. Lord, I am not running anymore. I'm ready to be changed." We need to submit to God. Along with that, fasting also adds authenticity to our prayer. Solitude fasting are spiritual companions. Solitude fasting and prayer are spiritual companions. We cannot separate them. We need to always be in communication with the Lord through these things. We are reorientating our attention and redirecting our desires, and it sharpens our prayers. Now, fasting, as I already mentioned, doesn't make our prayers necessarily more powerful as far as, you know, adding exclamation points to the end of them where God has to listen to me. But it makes us more attentive, more surrendered, and more in tune with what the Spirit might be saying. Right now, our dishwasher is leaking at home. So I pulled it out. You know, we get these error signals on it all the time, and then it won't run. So I pulled it out, and I got down on my knees. I didn't have my glasses on, and I didn't have a flashlight. So I'm looking underneath there, and it's all just a blur of wires and tubes, and I can't see the problem. What I needed to do was get my glasses, get a bright light, and then get back down there where I could search for this leak. So I turned the dishwasher back on, and I'm watching it run, and I still didn't find the leak. But at least I had a clearer way of looking. But I needed to take the time to add to my search. And I think that's what fasting does with prayer. It makes me more attentive. It makes me able to see and understand better, and to take prayer seriously. A lot of times someone might say, pray for me. Bob asked me to pray for his knee. Sure, Bob, I'll pray for your knee. God bless Bob's knee. And then I move on. What is God going to do with that? Is he going to, I mean, certainly God can do what he wants to do, and God is going to bless Bob's knee. But he's not going to do, but it was flippant on my part. It wasn't, you know, sorry, Bob. You know, I didn't, you know, I know what it's like to have a sore knee. And so I began to think about this a little bit, and I thought, you know, he's going, I understand what he's going through, and it hurts, and it slows you down, and it that's what's on your mind then is your sore knee, and you're not thinking about other things, and you're not enjoying life. And so I began to take it a little bit more seriously because I took the time to contemplate and to empathize and to really ask God to be with Bob. And the same thing with other situations in our lives. We can just be so flippant and say, oh God, you know, and these can be very serious situations, and we just say, oh God bless them. But we don't enter into being authentic in our prayers. And I think that as we would really spend time alone with God, God, I'm going to sit down with you right now. I'm going to enter into prayer with you. I'm going to fast. I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to take this seriously. I want to hear from you, God, and I want you to hear me. I think that solitude and fasting can really help with that. So whether you're lifting up a loved one in crisis or our nation, which needs in such great need of revival, fasting can serve as an amplifier to us. Not that we shout louder at God, but that we listen more closely to him and pray more boldly. And when we are praying, we are not just saying, God, this is what I think you should do. We need to also be listening to what God might be saying to us, because he might be saying to us, this is what I want you to do. Oftentimes when we pray, we have to be willing to be the answer to that prayer. God might be saying, I want you to go and do this, or to talk to that person, or to give this or do that. We need to be willing to be the answer to our own prayers. Point number five, I think fasting and solitude can help us grow in self-control and to fight temptations. In a world that is constantly whispering, indulge yourself, don't wait, fasting teaches us to say, not so fast. And that is a counter-cultural act of discipline in this world of excess and addiction. Self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit, and being a fruit of the Spirit, it is something that is gifted to us by God. It is not something that we have to muster up on our own, but by submitting to God, by sitting before Him, He can build these things into our lives. It's evidence of the Spirit's work in our life. And as we spend time with God, we build these spiritual muscles. Fasting is a way in which God can align, can train us and align our will with His. We are saying no to our appetites, not because they're bad in themselves, but because we want to be ruled by something greater, by the Spirit, and not just our stomachs. It's a self-discipline over self-indulgence. And self-control, of course, applies to way more than food. The habit of fasting can spill over into other areas of our life. How we use our time, how we respond to temptation, how we speak, how we interact with others. It creates a space for God to reshape our lives, to truly transform us, and to even reshape our desires. Point number six, we see oftentimes people in the Bible used fasting in combination with mourning and grief. Now, to grieve something, to lament about something, are natural responses to loss, and they are healthy, normal responses that aid in the healing of someone who has experienced loss. We should not deny them. We should, to grieve and to mourn are healthy things. Life brings so often times of sorrow and loss and disappointment and heartbreak. And in Scripture, we often see people who are going through these situations engaged also in fasting. Now, it may seem counterintuitive. I'm already in pain. Why do I want to add more pain to my life by fasting? But it is a way that turns our pain towards God. It involves us, it heightens our awareness that we need God and that God is there for us. When David's infant son was dying, David didn't fast to manipulate God. He fasted because he was broken. He also fasted when King Saul died. He also fasted when his best friend Jonathan died, in a way to enter into that grief and to turn that grief, to realize that in that grief he needed God. Other people that went through very similar situations were Daniel, Joel, Esther, Ezra, the entire nation of Nineveh. They all fasted because of loss and crisis. Nehemiah, he responded when he heard that the city of Jerusalem was in ruins. He fasted to mourn for the city and to declare his need for God. So fasting in grief isn't about despair. It is a means of bringing our sorrow to the one who understands. God understands our grief and our sorrow. And it's a way of saying, Lord, this really hurts, but I am still going to trust in you. Christian mourning is never mourning that is hopeless. The Christian always has hope. Fasting and spending time alone with the Lord is also a way to identify with the suffering of others. It has the ability to turn our hearts outward. Scripture invites us not only to fast from something, but also for something or for someone. Isaiah 58, verses 6 and 7 says this, Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. This is a way of fasting that turns our heart with compassion toward other people to meet their needs and to share with them. We give up of our own possessions, our own time, our own self-interest to be involved in the lives of other people. And that is a type of fast. Oftentimes when we fast in solidarity with those who suffer. The hungry, the oppressed, and the grieving, we step into their pain with empathy in a way that I can feel your pain. We begin to see the world more clearly through God's eyes, and our prayers become less about our own comfort and more about the needs of other people, and may also lead us into action. It awakens compassion, stirs generosity, and builds bridges. In a world often divided, we are called to share one another's burdens. And then one more added benefit to fasting is to experience mental and physical, or physical and mental health. While the primary focus of Christian fasting is spiritual, it's to draw us into deeper relationship with God, to make us more attuned to the leading and the voice of the Holy Spirit, there is no denying that there are physical and mental benefits to fasting. Medical research has affirmed fasting can offer genuine health benefits. One of the things that's kind of popular right now is intermittent fasting as a way of dieting and increasing health. It's been linked to increased focus in reduced inflammation, better blood sugar control, and even cellular repair. And many who fast regularly report heightened mental clarity and emotional calm. Not because the act is magical, but because our bodies and minds are being reset. So there are these benefits. It's kind of like gravy on top of the whole situation, that we receive these added benefits. So fasting is far more than just skipping meals. It draws us closer to the heart of God. From deepening our relationship with Him, to sharpening our spiritual ears, cultivating humility, and even experiencing physical renewal, fasting can be transformative. It's not about impressing God, but inviting Him to take center stage in our lives. So throughout Scripture and through church history, we see how solitude and fasting opened the doors to guidance, to intercession, to compassion, and to clarity. It deepens our desires, awakens our prayers, and reminds us that our deepest needs are met not at the table, but in God's presence. We'll close by once again reading Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that it is your desire to draw into deep relationship with us and to draw us into deep relationship with you. And so, Lord, you've given us these different ways, these different avenues to participate in that can do just that. I pray, Lord, that you would help each one of us to consider how we might pray better, how we might fast, how we might spend time alone with you, how we might be engaged in meditation and the study of your word. All tools that you've given us to help us know you better and to be more faithful. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.